Would dear people please turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And follow along as I read verses 33 down to verse 37. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you should not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil. As we're coming through the Sermon on the Mount, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's doing, he is teaching, and we underscore this, those who are in the kingdom of heaven. He's showing them the life that they now would lead, and he's showing and making them understand how that life is different from those who are even before them. The men who were over Jerusalem or over the Israelites, if we can say, and how they have been taught all these years, but he's now indicating to them that there is something or a depth of God's word that they did not get through these men. And so he's telling them now, you who are in the kingdom of heaven, we see this, it begins in the beginning of chapter 5, understanding that this is what you are. You are now in God's kingdom. And what we can say, even to the reading of Deuteronomy, God is showing he took for people himself out in the Old Testament when he called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans and said, I will make a great people of you. You will be blessed, and those who bless you will be blessed. And he's saying then, so God says he'll have a people for himself. And as we come through the Old Testament, we see what God did. He took for himself from Abraham, and he now had what we know to be the children of Israel. But he also indicated by way of a covenant that they would be his children and they would be with him, and his covenant will last even to the end of time. As things progress, we find there's the early part in Deuteronomy, and we find that what's going on there, God says now, because of the ones who came out of Egypt, and because they didn't believe him, and they turned against him, he said they were going to die in that wilderness. And those will come out who were younger ones, when they reached the age, they would be the ones who would go into the land. Pastor, he indicated to us it was the new writing of the law given to these young ones so they would know. And I see in a sense here what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing with us. Those young ones, when they came out and moved all the way up to this day, the day of Jesus Christ, they had the law. But so much had gotten mixed into what the law was really required by God. And so Jesus said, we read those statements some while ago, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so as we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking to those who are in the kingdom, those who will become a part of the kingdom. And he said, now you're going to walk with God in a different way. You're not going to be those who have sort of a religion. Oh, we're going to trust God. We're going to use it, do it this way. There will be no legalism. We're going to just bind ourselves to the law and do the best we can. And you know what? All that's fine. God is going to see that, and he's going to accept that. But Jesus says, no, that's not what it's going to be. The law is going to be in your heart, even as God promised in the prophet Jeremiah. It will be the very thing that will cause you to walk the way you ought to walk. And so now Jesus, as he's here now speaking to his people, he tells them what has been now brought on more and more to the people of God, and how they have been made to follow this by what the doctors and the lawyers, as sometimes they are described as, have been teaching the people all this time. But Jesus says, You need to know what the truth is, and I'm going to give you the truth. So in this very passage we have before, Jesus is really going down and he's saying something to it. And I believe there's a couple of things he's saying here, though I won't be focusing upon this, you'll see it as a move down. He's more concerned about relationship at this point. He's already brought in relationship by talking about even divorce and marriage, but now the relationship is expanded out now, and this is going to be a relationship between one another, people, those who are in the kingdom of God. How are we going to relate to one another is really what he's getting at here. But also the relationship is also with the Lord God himself. And he pulls us in these two, in the very thought of this verse. Remember what he says. Look at verse 33 again. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. Now here is a portion where we come to. Now Jesus Christ himself, he does what he's always going to do. He states, first of all, what was expounded and taught by the law, by those who are the leaders over them. And it says here that this is what you say. And as we look at what Jesus said was taught by them, we can see and understand how they now, use the phrase, grew up under the scribes and Pharisees. And so it says, and there's a couple of things we'll look at. First of all, he says, again, you have heard that the ancients were told. Let it never slip from our mind that Jesus is saying to them at this particular time, you have men who have been your teachers, but here am I right now. There were several problems with what they on the law and how they presented the law. They only went as far as the letter of the law, and they believed that they was doing right by God, going to the letter of the law. This is what it says right here. We'll hold to that and that alone. You know, people live like that today. They pick up your Bible and they pick up the Bible and say, you know, I'm just going to do just what it says here. But there's nothing in the heart that serves God and even show their connection to God. We would hope that we would never be preached from the pulpit in this place that all you got to do is do this, do that, and the other thing, and everything's right. And this is what these people had gone through. They did not guide the people in a heart relationship with God. They didn't bring them in and open up the law and taught the law to them, and this is what you should do. They used the law to justify themselves as righteous by their works. And we can add, they were legalistic in the way they served God. For the law says, do not commit adultery. You know what? I haven't committed adultery, but remember what Jesus says, it's in heart. This is what it is. It's in the heart. Now, what they say here, you shall not make false vows. Now, in our translation, we read here that it says, you shall not make false vows. The King James says, thou shall not forswear thyself. Hendrickson, he actually translate this verse, you shall not break your oath. The word that is translated false vows or forswearing is this is the only place it is used in the New Testament. And so therefore those who look at it and see what does it really mean? It means to swear falsely, not fulfill one's oath. It is a form of the root word that means to perjure or a perjurer. Perjury is to willfully tell a lie while under a lawful oath. I'm going to do this and that and the other thing, but you know what? I know I'm not really planning to do it. That's not what's in my heart. I'm just saying what seems to be right at this particular time. I'm saying what I can say in order to just get over or get what I need at this particular time. This rabbinical law, as stated here, is made up of statements from the Old Testament, but we do not find it the way they spoke it or have it right here. There are certain texts I'll just read them to you. In Leviticus 19 and 12, here the Lord said, you shall not swear falsely by my name. so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. In Deuteronomy 6 and 13, you shall fear or reverence only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. Deuteronomy 23 and 21, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. And even Numbers 30 in verse 2, if a man makes a vow to the Lord, or take an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. You see, these are the passage we can get from the Old Testament here, and there are others too. But we see in these passages the idea of perjury. In other words, don't say something, don't lie and say something, and you have no intentions of doing it whatsoever. This is what it's focused upon, and we know the focus here is upon truthfulness. Here's where Jesus is going now, being truthful in everything that you said. The Lord is saying that a person must be willing in his heart to keep what he promises before the Lord. And brother, we can even say this now, anything that we promise one another, that is a promise before the Lord. Anything that we take an oath to, that is before the Lord. And also notice that in the passages that I read here, in the passages quoted, the vow is made to the Lord. Notice what it says, the first one in Leviticus 19 and 12. Swear falsely by my name. Deuteronomy passage. Swear by his name. Deuteronomy passage again. Vow to the Lord your God. The Numbers passage. Vow to the Lord. And here is what truly is coming forth as we take up this whole idea. But notice how the rabbis worded this very verse or the teaching here. You shall not make false vows. That's what they say. You shall not make false vows. This rendering takes the most important element out of the earth to the Lord. And this gives them room for oaths or vows in general conversation, which they were the very thing they were doing. They taught that the only oath that is attributed or directed to God is binding. It is even said that in the Talmud declares that oaths like by heaven, by earth, or by any other of these types of things are not binding. Therefore, if you break these types of oaths, you have done no harm. And so you see, this is what Jesus is focusing upon. He's focusing upon here, what was the way they spoke to one another and what they said during that time? Well, they'll take oaths and all kinds of oaths. You know, it doesn't matter. If I'm not going to fulfill it, it doesn't matter. But when I bring God's name into it, then that's a different matter. And so they put oaths on two different levels there. And so he says here what they're saying. So in the first part, we say that. But now they go on. Again, you have heard that this ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. Fulfill or perform or pay. It has the idea of a debt that must be paid in full. As the Lord says, and he gives us the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts, they must be paid. And so here's what they're saying here. But Henderson makes a wonderful point on this. Henderson points out that the emphasis is on the phrase to the Lord here indicates that you only have to be concerned about the vows you make to the Lord. This underscores their teaching of common use of all types of vows. And so even the way it's set up, and Hendrick makes here, the verse is set up like this. You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. You see how it is? You should not make false vows. You should not make those. But, you know, if you do. But fulfill your vows to the Lord. Two different categories of vows is really what it's saying here. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get at. This underscores again their teaching of common use of all types of vows. The problem here is that false swearing or false oaths, that's what Jesus is going at. They're saying certain things, they're swearing, false swearing. They know it's false to begin with. This is untruthfulness or lying because they make oaths that they do not mean to keep. This way of thinking exists because it was normal for the Jews to use oaths in their everyday conversations, swearing by the temple, by the altar, by the lamb, by the dishes, by the law, even by Moses. Notice what Jesus says to this very idea. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. This is why Jesus could speak to them and say who they are and how wicked they were. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 16, he goes right to this very point. Remember here, he's really going after them. He started in verse 13, but woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who entering to go in. You see what he's saying? You're standing in the doorway to God, and you won't let the people go in because of your teaching. In verse 16, though, what he says, woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. Now just think about that in your mind. I swear by the temple. I give this oath that I'm going to do this. That's nothing. Nothing. In other words, you're not binding to that. You don't have to worry about the fact that you made a swear by the temple. But I swear by the gold of this. Uh-oh, that's binding. But notice what Jesus says. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the goal or the temple that sanctified the goal? And he goes on, and whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligation. The same idea. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctified the offering? And we know the answer to that. It is the very altar itself as we come before God. Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears by both the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. So Jesus is saying here, this is what they do, and this is the way they looked at it. They looked at the whole idea of they can say these oaths, and they had all these particular ones which they figured they put it in the category of non-binding so they can say that. This was hypocrisy. They made lofty religious promises because they put oaths into different categories. Those that are binding and those that are not binding. So they figure, here, who we are. And they walked around and Jesus showed us who they were. When all these long robes and preening themselves, and we have all the understanding. We are the ones that you should follow. But Jesus is saying right now, no, you don't follow those guys. They do not have the truth. They are all off, and they don't know what they're speaking about. They don't know what they're talking about. And so here he goes on, but Jesus does what he has done in the rest of these as we come through. He gave the proper understanding and teaching of oaths. And this is what Jesus says. He says, but I say to you, and again we know that's a statement he says all the way, indicates that he is the true interpreter of the law. Therefore, he has the right to speak with authority. He exposed the error in the teaching of the leaders in that day. But I say to you, every one of us, when we come to this, we should look at what Jesus says here. And says, now here is Jesus really doing just what he said. I come to fulfill the law. I come to tell you really how the law makes its effect upon you. And this is what you must do. But I say to you, and this is what he says, make no oath at all. He told his disciples to watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew 16. Meaning the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So Jesus is saying, now, I'm going to pull you away from what they are teaching, and I'm going to tell you what to really do, how to understand, how to really worship God, and how to serve God from your heart. He told them that the only way to honor God with your speech was to speak the truth. This is what he's saying. There have been many people, not outside of the Bible, they lie with an oath. Many people have gone before the courts of our land, and they sat there knowing full well they're lying, and made an oath. And so Jesus said, the best thing you do, and what he said, speak the truth. Truth comes from the heart, dear people. It is the new life in Christ Jesus, as we see here, as we're talking about the citizens of the kingdom. It is the character of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Remember what we saw in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Not someone that has a heart that's devious, a heart that's trying its best to get over on somebody, tell you anything what you think you want to hear. Mostly tell you anything that's going to get them to actually prosper in the way or to get the things that they want to get. Make no oath at all, he says. Therefore, Jesus is saying, whatever you say, you must mean it from your heart. If a person means it from the heart, they don't have to make an oath on it. They don't have to say, I swear by this, or I'll make this promise, or whatever the case may be. They don't have to. Now, people, we know that there is God's sovereignty in all this, and providence is one thing. We could promise a person what we're going to do, and the promise may not come to fruition, but it's not because we lied, it's because of by God's own providence and His sovereignty that that could not be done. And we understand that, and this is not what Jesus is saying here. He is saying, make no oath. Make not that which you're going to make some kind of promise, you're going to find yourself as a binding to and proving to somebody you're going to do it by saying this oath. I don't know if anyone of you may know and understand or maybe have some kind of experiences of oaths that was come around. I remember when as children, you probably remember this too. You saying and walk talking to one another and you say, what I'm saying is the truth. Oh, you sure that's true? Cross my heart and hope to die. Then he said that, right? In other words, this is binding up what I just said. Now you know I'm saying the truth if I said that. I can remember my parents, that generation, you know, when they said something, you know, around talking, and they said to make an oath, oh, God may kill me. You better be careful. And you know you're lying to my hope God may kill you. You might fall dead right now. But this is, and there's more things. You probably hear more and more of these, how people make these particular petitions and oath, you know, that I'm telling the truth. But Jesus says what you say here now. You know what to do? Make no oath at all. Now we see that they have to come to a position where we can do that. But what Jesus is saying here, now what you must do, look at this, and first of all, that should be the point in your mind. And Jesus then says, that make no oath at all. Then he says, notice in the next verse is following, either by, and here we are in Matthew chapter 5, and I took you all the way up to Matthew chapter 23, and Jesus had to straighten out what he's teaching his people in Matthew chapter 5. He said, either by the heavens, and he goes on and he tells you why. And I think you understand this, and we could just go through it quickly. Either by the heavens. And why does he say it? He said, here's a purpose. And we see even what Christ says when he spoke the woes to the scribes and Pharisees there. And we know, because it belongs to him. Either by the heaven, for it is God's throne. It belongs to him. If you're making an oath by the heavens, you're really making an oath by God, even if you say that. And then it goes on. He said, either by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet. Where is God? Is he just housed in some little place and he's not Lord over all things? No. Here Jesus gives us this picture that God is immense. He is in the heavens, seated on his throne, and his feet is upon the earth. And so therefore, you cannot get out of the presence of God. And so trying to make an oath where God is not is a stupid thing to think. How can you ever think you can make an oath by something, swear by something, and God is not involved in it? Or by the earth, or by Jerusalem. And even at that time, now Jerusalem, where it was there, and he says, for it is the city of the great king. And I don't believe he means the king who would be sitting there. He means God himself. That is his city. Then he goes on, nor shall you make an oath by your head. I didn't see anything that how they would even make this kind of oath, but by the head, you know, or something. The one thought comes to mind is that when something that came upon the people, the Israelites, you know, it was something that was horrible. You know, they would rip their garments, you know, and sit in sackcloth and ashes, throw stuff over their head. And it was a way of bewilderment, sitting before God. In other words, how can you even swear or make an oath by your head? And I like what Jesus says here. For you cannot make one hair white or black. You don't have control over that. So how can you make an oath by it? God is the one who has control over it. And so he says in, but let your statement be yes or no. That's all. Do not swear or make an oath by anything, because everything, it belongs to God. And we can say that for all the each and every one of you in here. We need to know that. And I think some of the unconverted, they go about and trying to say what they're going to do, you know, making promises about it, and as if God has nothing to do with it, as if God is aside from it. But God is sovereign. And he's providentially working all things out. You who are not converted, and what you get right now is because God is giving it to you. God has all control. So he says, as he gave them the proper understanding of the teaching of oaths, he goes to this, make no oath whatsoever, either by heaven or anything else. But then he gives the proper understanding of the law, and this law which is now as you go and you look for oaths. The law is lived out from the heart, which he now is telling us. He indicates to us that this is what you must do. But let your statement be yes or no. Anything beyond this is of evil. Two important things he says there, dear people. He said, first of all, be short and sweet. Have you ever heard about it? You know, you get into this, he's trying to explain something, you get on there, and you hear this guy going, you say, wait a minute, now he's going in a different category there, and all this and that, and you He keeps talking to him. You say, he done tripped himself up now. You know, if you go before a deposition and your lawyer tells you, you know, the other lawyer who's deposing you, he tell you, answer the question, just the question with yes or no. Don't try to, you know, and so if you don't know something, you don't remember, say, I don't know, I don't remember. Don't try to go back in your mind and try to, you know, I know this is different, but yes or no is what I'm getting at. And when you find yourself in a situation, that's what he's saying. Just say yes or no. If you didn't do it, or you can't do it, say no. If you did, here's where the rub comes. Say yes. But we don't say that too quickly, do we? So he said, make it short and sweet, Jesus said. Make sure you don't find yourself doing anything or saying anything to try to learn, earn, or put some credence on what you have just said. Try to come to a point where you're going to actually tell her, you have to believe this because of all that I'm saying after this. And this is the very thing you have to do. And when we get in that, people, this is where the problem comes. And this is what Jesus is saying. That's why all the things about oaths there, he comes down, he said, but let your statement be yes or no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Anything beyond these is of evil. He said, wow, that's a pretty powerful statement there, isn't it? But you know what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying here? He is saying that it was the devil of the evil one. It was the devil that twisted God's word in the garden and beguiled Eve. And he is the one that causes you and I to twist our words in speech. We will try our best to do something because we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be looked down upon. So we'll try to say things that's going to make us look a little bit better. Everyone is prone to lie. We lie to one another. We got to admit that, don't we? It was something that it was a white lie, but it was a lie, wasn't it? And even the commentators say, sometimes we may exaggerate a little bit. But that's a lie too, isn't it? And so Jesus, as he's speaking to his people here, speaking to us, he's saying to us, you know what? When you're speaking, be very careful. It's a yes or no. Don't try to do any elaboration on it. Try to make it look better or maybe make yourself look better. The sin in man's heart springs forward in conversations before he knows it. Have you ever said something? Oh, man, why did I say that? I have. And you go back and you have to ask forgiveness. You know, I'm a little bit overboard there. And I pray before I preach. Lord, don't let me just say things. Let me try to keep to your word, you know, in this heart and in this mind and whatever, you know, things have come out. You know, let me just, what I studied, what I know, what I've been, by experience of going through, let that be what I preach to the people. Well, let me come up here mouthing off and saying all kind of things, you know. Every one of us would be sort of like the scribes and Pharisees. We want to be a prominent person among those around us. And so if we say nice things, they will probably like us, right? Yes or no. Anything beyond this is of evil. Or it says of the evil one. And so here, so every one of us, man wants to be right. Man wants to look good. So he builds himself up. Then he tries to sanction his words with an oath. He tries to make us some kind of way. We try to make them some kind of way to really understand that we're telling the truth. This is really the truth that I'm saying right now. We live in a world right now that there's a whole lot of liars and a little bit of truth tellers. All around us, everywhere you go, there's nothing but lies. You get to the point now, you doubt everything that people say. We have gotten into the history of man where we can't even believe or take the word of those who are leaders over us in every form, teachers or whatever. We don't know. Did you really study this out? And are you really giving me the truth of this fact here? Well, they don't know. They surmise things. Teachers, they may come to the point where they say, well, you know what? This is what I believe it teaches here. And they teach as if it's fact. But they know themselves they haven't gone into all of it. Brother, how do you think we got this whole idea that we have evolved from some kind of cell or something over there? Where's the fact of that? But they almost teach it with an oath. You've got to believe this because this is what it is. Man wants to be right. He wants to build himself up. But Jesus is teaching us here, we must fight this temptation. Therefore, just say yes or no. That's all. Nothing else you need to say beyond that. Now, there are some groups that look at this and they say, what Jesus is teaching here is that Christians should never take an oath. And they also mention this about it. That means they should never take an oath in a court of law. But that's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches us. And I'm going to run down a few verses with you. Turn with me to back into Psalm 89. And I'm not going to do too much on exposition of it, but I'm just going to read it to you, let you see and what God is saying here. And then see what the Lord is really moving and what he says here. In Psalm 89 and 3, first of all, we have God himself is the one who makes an oath. He makes it clear that he's the one who's made something, and then he keeps it. In verse 3 of Psalm 39, he said, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. But man, isn't that great? God has said himself, this is my word and this is what I have established. You and I today, dear people who love the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace that has come to us through Christ dying on the cross is a part of this very oath that was made by God. And notice, go back into Genesis chapter 14. We see not only God makes the oath, we see actually that's been taking place throughout, but we find here also Abraham himself, when he speaks, when Abraham finds himself in the war against the kings, and he meets Melchizedek come to him. He says something here that shows the kind of man that he is, and he can make this oath. And there is no problem in the oath he makes here. Genesis 14, beginning in verse 22. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours for fear you would say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. And then he names them out. Let them take their share. And so therefore Abram said, God was the one who promised to me and made the promises. And so I will not take anything that actually, what should I say, caused God or not, that promise didn't come to me. He all comes to me through God. And this is what I look at. But I know what has come to your mind. There's many others we could look at, but I don't think I need to belabor the point. But notice in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Now here we have our Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken. He's going to be brought before now and put to death on our behalf. And he's there before these kangaroo courts. And they got him there. And so basically, he said not a word. And notice in verse 62, the high priest stood up and said to him, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. You see, now when that high priest said, I adjure you by the living God, Jesus speaks. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, therefore, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest told him, here's an oath, by a word of an oath, tell me who you are. And Jesus tells him who he is. He is the Son of the living God. But this is the very thing that we see going throughout the scriptures. We find out that God is saying to us, as even the people of God, we will find ourselves basically taking oaths, and the oaths will be taken. In Hebrews 6 and 16, he said, for men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given is as confirmation as an end of every dispute. And God says in Hebrews 3 and 11, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So there's no such thing as God saying that you shall not take an oath. But here Jesus is pushing down the whole idea that there can be these frivolous oaths made. You can make an oath on anything. You can say anything. But really, brethren, what it comes down to is speak the truth. This is what he's saying. Don't go around lying. And don't be saying things that you're not going to keep. And whatever you say, make sure you keep it, is really what our Lord is saying. Don't just say any old thing. Don't be a liar. Don't be one who just basically trying his or her best to get over on somebody. No, we must live to the glory of God. And this is the very way we ought to carry ourselves, you know. And even Paul could say to us, lie not to one another. Don't do that. And we have to make our words wholesome. And our words need to come out. And they need to be the words of truth. So Jesus is saying here, what do you and I do? How do we live that makes ourselves different in that day from the scribes and Pharisees? Because now I give you the truth. I give you the law. And so now here, you live by the law. Here it is. It's something that is on the heart. So now what you do is keep that word. And so we find as we go through the New Testament, this is what is being brought down to us. Speak the truth. Christ is saying, this is what my people are going to be. He is going to be the difference. And I submit to you, dear people, as we look at this, we can say to this whole idea, well, this is where we ought to speak in every situation. But remember, we are in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is indicating something that takes place in the kingdom of God. And what takes place here is that we should never have to bow ourselves for what we say to one another with some kind of oath. And thank God, we don't do that. But we should never. But what he's saying here, and each one of the commentators look at this, the very thing Christ is concerned with here is truth. Is truthfulness. And brethren, this makes us, it brings us to a point that how we live, it has to be with truth and truthfulness. Here we are, changed men and women in Christ Jesus. The heart is changed. We are growing, being sanctified, going from one level of sanctification to another. And so the Word of God, as it comes for us here, it should make us think right now, how am I speaking to my brother? Yes, outside world, definitely. But how am I speaking to my brother? And that brother or sister can be one so close to us. How am I speaking? And brother, our relationships, and because of remaining sin, the very thing that we want to do again is to protect ourselves. Get back, jump back if somebody say anything to us. But no, that is not the case. We should be those who speak the truth at every chance we get. We should be those who make sure what we're saying is not to hurt. It's not to lambast somebody. It's not to break somebody down. And brethren, there are going to be times where we're going to say something. It is wrong. It is up to us to admit it's wrong. One of the things that's so horrible among Christians is to say something to hurt another brother or sister and never say anything about it. That's horrible. That thing is left there. What we do when that happens, we diminish ourselves in the face of our brethren. In the back of my mind, in the back of your mind, when somebody does that, well, I know what he did, I know what he said yesterday, last week, so and so. And will we trust him or her as they say something the next time coming? You and I should guard against that. We should make it where there will be no doubt in our brethren what we are saying to him or her. This is what Jesus is after. Speak to your brother and sister. Let it be that as you speak to them, you are speaking the truth. And your word does not have to be sanctioned by an oath. Hope God may kill me. Those were rank and file sinners that said that too back in my day when I realized that, knew that when that phrase was about. But as children, crossed my heart and hoped to die. We shouldn't have to do that. When we speak, our brother or sister should know that he or she is speaking right out of the heart. And I know what he or she is saying right now is the truth. If there's something happened, and maybe someone think that you did something to them, and he go to you, and he says, brother, no, I didn't do that, or I didn't mean it that way. That brother or sister ought to be able to walk away. I have no doubt that that brother had no malice when he said that or when he did this or that or the other thing. This is what it says. Jesus is concerned about his people living and loving one another, living together, and what they will now bring into a wicked world that knows nothing about telling the truth, more telling lies than anything. Not that any of them will tell the truth, but they might tell the truth. But they live more on lies, presenting themselves more than what they really are. This is what we ought to do. Brethren, may it be that God even causes us from here, because here's what Christ is saying. This is what the citizens of the kingdom are. This is how they live. Let it be from this point on that we say, you know what? Anything I say is going to be truth right down to the wire. And that means that it would cause you and I to stop and think before we say things. Because what Jesus says, anything other than this or more than this is of evil or from the evil one. If we think first, we may, knowing all our emotions and everything, we want to come back with an answer. If we stop and think first, we finally say, no, that's not the right thing to say. And we might find ourselves humbling our own selves in our minds and saying, no, I'm not going to say that. Within ourselves, that's nothing but a lie. It's a little twisting, you know, this and that, you know. It's a little exaggeration. But when it comes down to it, it's really a lie. We tell ourselves that, brother, we will find ourselves even doing more. But there's some in here that they don't even know Christ. You don't know Christ Jesus. And you think it doesn't matter what you say. You think that, well, you can live the way you live. And you may live a lie. In the sense that who you think you are and what you may be saying to others, whatever the case may be. You don't care what people think about you. And you know what? Hey, more power to you if you don't. But God says you are going to have to stand before him. And he says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No, you might say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, I don't care. That's not going to change it. Say, for instance, a man went to the doctor, and basically he goes to the doctor. The doctor said, you got heart trouble, you know. I'm not going to accept that. I don't believe that. The doctor said, look, I'm telling you the truth. You better think about that. The man says, no. Goes out. What happens? He won't go to the doctor. He's dead. Many people think that they're living a good life, and they think that everything's all right. They look on the outside and say, this is fine. You know, and many people think that the life that they're living a life of lies, telling lies every day. I know some people that they lie every day, more than once a day, they lie. And you can look at them and say, it's nothing but a lie. And they live that lie out. And they think that they're supposed to have everything. It's supposed to go good for me. The liar is being dealt with by God even now in this life. You know, one person who was saying, after going through so much, why is my life so bad? I can't even get a break. Well, God's not going to give you a break because of the way you live. Dear young people, think about this. You're going to stand before God. And if you're not out there doing what a lot of other people are doing, young people, you're not out there gangbanging, you're not out there stealing cars, you're not out there messing with drugs and alcohol or whatever, you know, whatever. Okay, that may be good. But if you're a liar, most of you probably you are, you got that to worry about. And some of you lie, because we know we used to be children too. Did you do that? No. And you know you did. Why did you go over and do that? Well, I was so and so. And you know that's a lie. You're going to stand before God, and all those lies are going to be on a long sheet before you, right on down to the ground. To use the analogy, meaning that every one of them is going to come back to your face, and God's going to say, in to outer darkness. So you see, Jesus is teaching us as the people of God how to live our lives. And basically, you yourself, you hear this, you should think about it. But remember what Jesus says, you are salt and light in the world. And so when we live in like this, and we are not those who telling lies, we bring even to the world around us that there is a right way to live. And when we talk to people who are not even in church or not even Christians, and we speak the truth to them, you see stuff and you understand why these people are always telling the truth and telling me I'm sorry for telling a lie, whatever the case may be, because of who we are and because we're concerned about you. So here's what Christ says. He goes on. He's in this area where he's dealing with how you're going to function in particular relationships. And some other ones are going to come up. You're going to say, wow, what do we do with this? How do we use that for the day? But we'll look at that when we get to it. May God bless us, dear brethren. May he bless each and every one of us who walk with Christ. And may we have this to check our hearts and minds. Don't worry about trying to build up a case. Just yes or no. Yes or no. And may God help you who know not Christ. May you know him. May you learn who he is. May even this cause you to see, the next time you even fix your mouth to tell a lie, that God knows it. Let's pray.